How many enjoyed last week? Was it pretty good? All you mothers get excited, get pumped up. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31, women. We've got some here, but Ephesians chapter 4. Before that, before last Sunday, we were talking about some of the gifts in the body of Christ, the ministry gifts and also the gifts of the Spirit. And I realized I kind of skimmed over some things. So I want to go back and look again. How many know that sometimes we can look twice into the Word of God and see a little bit more? Amen. I do. I always do that. And I could have taught more at the time, but I didn't. But I'd like to go back and look some more today at some of the ministry gifts. How many know God has given us ministry gifts to the body of Christ? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8 says this, wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. But here he says, and he gave some. So if we look at verse 8 here, he said, he gave gifts unto men, and he gave some. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, right? And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Hallelujah. So he didn't give all, but he gave some. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So these are gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. He didn't just give gifts to a man, but he gave them to them. What? For the benefit of the body of Christ, right? Possibly for the local church, some for, you know, for the church overall, you know, the body of Christ there. And so also I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 before I really get into this. Back up just a little bit. Keep your finger there in Ephesians 4. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Sometimes I get to going and I skip over some things. I don't think we really read this scripture last time. It says, and God has set some. Everybody say some. That means not all, but some, right? In the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles or evangelists and gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. And so here he's saying the same thing pretty much, only he's giving a few different, some of the functions of the body, of those offices. You know, like a lot of times the evangelist will come, he'll have miracles or gifts of healings, okay? A lot of times a pastor may be a government gift or, you know, the gifts of healings also flow. We talk about, you know, into the emotional realm a lot of times, bring healing, helps. That's people that have means. It's really, it means those that have a certain amount of money to give, to help give into the gospel. It's part of the gospel entrepreneurship, but how many know? There's all kind of helps ministry, amen? Some of you are doing it right now. We got some help with the sound today. I would say that's part of a helps ministry. Amen. How many know the Holy Spirit helps us? Amen. The Holy Spirit helps us, doesn't he? Well, if you want to be a helper, you got the same job, just like the Holy Spirit, helping God's kingdom. Amen. And we don't ever really get out of helps ministry. Helps ministry encompasses more than just giving, but it can, you know, none of us get out of that ministry. We get to help God and work with God. Isn't that awesome? He lets us help him and work with him. But anyway, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he says, are all apostles? Of course not, because he gave what? Some. Are all prophets? No, he gave some. Are all teachers? No, he gave some. Are all workers of miracles? No, he gave some. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, not in a church setting, but yes, and privately you can. All can. Do all interpret? No. Not in a setting of the church. And so he has given gifts to men. Let's go back over here to Ephesians. And so these gifts are important. Jesus, of course, is the head of the church, and he's getting his body, what, ready for his soon return. How many know Jesus wants us to fulfill our place in the body of Christ? Now here we're talking about Ephesians 4. Really, a lot of times people say, well, that's the fivefold ministry gifts. And many times that means what? That they are a gift to help mature the body of Christ, to help us grow up. But really, all gifts are to help mature the body of Christ. I mean, if I don't have people that are helping me, we've got gifts operating today. You know, how many know I'm not the best? I don't sing to record. I don't sing to be heard by everybody except the Lord. Amen. Somebody's laughing. They're like, I don't think you sing at all, brother. You can't carry a good tune ever. But I do sing unto the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that verse. You know, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye people. Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean we can't, and even if maybe you don't sing at all, but you can still worship God. Amen. I worship you, Jesus. I love you. You can still express your heart to him. And that's really what he wants. Our heart to him. And how many know sometimes you don't even have the words to say anymore. And you just, Lord, I love you. And you're just with him. And he comes with you. He comes to you because he lives in you. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why I got off on that, but it was good anyway. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's getting his body ready for the soon return. And so we want to each find our place. God gave some gifts, and we need to understand these gifts, because I think sometimes, and not all the gifts, but some of the gifts that God gave to the body of Christ are misunderstood. How many know that? You know, you ever hear anybody, you know, well, you know, somebody comes to the church here and they say, well, I'm an apostle. Now step aside, pastor. I'm an apostle. You've got to submit to me because I was named first. And it's just not true. Even the apostle Paul did not take authority over any church. Once he left, he didn't take authority over. He might write to them. He might encourage them in the faith, strengthen them. But he didn't run the church. He turned that over to someone else. He didn't run the local church. So if you ever have a local church or somebody comes, we know, hey, listen, you're not the boss here. God is, number one. But the shepherd stays with the people. Amen. The pastor, he's the one that's in charge of the local church or responsible for those souls. So anyway, getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. And that's why it's important for those that are called to the ministry to function in their proper place in the body of Christ. You know, we have some, of course, there's always some. There's always been some. It talks about it in the Bible. There's some that don't do what's right. They're false apostles or false prophets. And so we need to know what the truth is. How many know we need to know the truth? So, you know, so that you can spot what's not true. Amen. When you understand how something operates, you know, when you go to the bank, you know, they don't give them, you know, at least in the U.S. they did it, but you know, they don't give them like false money. They give them real money. They feel that money. And they learn what it feels like. And so if they ever get a counterfeit, they say, oh, wait a minute. Something doesn't but feel quite right, because they've been touching that real money. All of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. You know, and they discover it's a forgery. It's not real. It wasn't quite right. It doesn't have the markings at the right spot or whatever it is. But they get that by using the real. not by using the false, right? Amen. How many know you do something long enough and you know how it's done? And, you know, when you make the mistake or you didn't do it quite right, you know, you've been putting the washers on there forever, right, Joe? You know, whatever you're doing at the plant, you know, and people do that over and over. And they say, oh, did you know this? Get this. I used to throw newspapers. And I'd throw my whole route. And sometimes I'd come home. And you know what? I knew which house I missed. Isn't that something? Why? Not because I memorized all the addresses, but I'd internalized it. And somehow, I was like, oh, I missed that one. I know I did. I drive back around. Sure enough, that's the one I missed. I was like, wow, I can't believe I mean, it was just amazing, really. And then, you know, because sometimes I'm half asleep because it's real early in the morning. Yeah, like 3 o'clock in the morning, and so I'm half asleep. But I would remember exactly which one it was, and I knew it. And I go back and throw that paper, if it wasn't too late, hopefully, before they call in on me. But see, we can internalize those things. But anyway, praise the Lord. What was my point? It's because it becomes a part of us. It's something that's on the inside of us. We internalize that. And so God's, you know, when we know what's real, we know what we're doing. We've done it so much that when there's a mistake or something's not right, we recognize it immediately. Anybody ever know that? You know, when you spend time with God and your spirit's strong, you know, then when something that's not true comes about, you recognize it, right? You say, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. Well, how do you know? Because I've been in the Word of God. I've been praying. I've been worshiping God, and my heart is telling me something's not quite right. I need to look that up. That preacher told me wrong. And if I tell you something wrong, look it up. I want to know. But I'm trying to give you truth. Amen. All right. Some believers say that some of the offices don't even exist today. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, the apostle and prophet that passed away. There's just evangelists, pastors, and teachers now. There's no apostles and prophets. It just stopped. But where does it say that in the Bible? I can't find it. I didn't see it in my Bible. Did you see it in your Bible? Anybody? Or the apostles or prophets or anybody? I mean, if that were true, why would Paul tell us God gave gifts? He gave what? Apostles, prophets? He would just say evangelists, pastors, and teachers, wouldn't he? Why would he include that? Because they're available. Because those gifts still operate today. Amen? It's kind of a radical view. You know, and so, I mean, when you really think about it, it's not there. Here's what the Bible says. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Amen. Today I'm going to try to talk more about the apostle here, but I want to look at the office of the apostle and how they are to function in the body of Christ today. Number one, the ministry gifts. I'm kind of talking about all the gifts and then we'll get to the apostle here, I think. I hope. I can't see my clock very good, but praise the Lord. The light shines right on it. That's why. I think it's 22 of it. All right. It is how many know, a ministry call is a divine call, amen? You don't call yourself, it is a divine call. A ministry gift is resident within a person who is called by God to the ministry, to stand in one of the fivefold offices. Some people say that all ministry gifts operate in the church today, as I said, except for maybe a few that they choose don't operate anymore. They just cut that out of the Bible, but that's not true. They all do operate. And the scripture bears that out. You know, they say, well, God doesn't need those ministries, but God gave all five ministry gifts to the church and they haven't stopped functioning, none of them. They're all in operation, even in our day. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, we know that verses 12 and 13 says why they function. What were they for? Three reasons that ministry gifts were given for the church. We've already looked at these, but it says here in verse 12, number one, for the perfecting of the saints, or for Let, you know, don't let that word throw you. It just means maturing. Amen. Didn't mean that we come to a place of absolute perfection in the flesh. You know, until we get our glorified body, we're not going to be perfect in the flesh. It's just the way it is. You know, you might miss a number here and there, you know, and you're adding or something like that. You know, but we are being matured. How many know you mature as you grow? Amen. Ever see a child? You know, they're what? They're first they're a baby. We got a baby here today, right? Takes a lot of care and a lot of taking care of them. But as we mature in the natural, we aren't necessarily perfect, but we begin to mature. Amen. And when people mature, they take on what? More responsibility, right? And eventually, hopefully, if they're taught right, by the time they're, you know, an adult, 18, 19 years old, they can hopefully care for themselves. Amen. 20 years old, and eventually you're on your own and you pay your own bills, then you do whatever you want. You know? Amen. Till then, we're under mom and dad's help, right? But he brings us. God, these gifts were given for, number one, the perfecting of the saints. Two, for the work of the ministry. Verse 12, work of the ministry. Number three, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So we're maturing of the saints. The New Testament in today's language says this. It says, in order to get his body, his holy people, ready to serve as workers. Isn't that good? That's one way to say it. It was in order to get his body ready to serve as workers. The Godspeed translation said, God gave ministry gifts to the church so the saints can reach mature manhood and reach that measure of development found in Christ. How many want to grow and mature in Jesus? Amen. That's what the gifts were given for. That's what the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers given to the church so that we can begin to grow up and begin to mature in the things of God. Why? Because they are what? Teachers and preachers primarily. Everybody remember that. I mean, most gifts are primarily teachers and preachers. And the church is always going to need ministry gifts. Why? Because we're always going to be having babies in the body of Christ. Did you know that? How many know? Even right before Jesus comes, people are going to get saved. Amen. Hopefully, we're going to keep leading people to Jesus and bring them towards the full maturity in Christ. And so we're always going to need the gifts in the body. Jesus himself gave these ministry gifts to the body of Christ. They aren't given by man. It's not like you can just, how many know you don't just decide you're going to be an apostle or a prophet? It's a call from God. God decides. God places men in the body as he sees fit. Amen. God calls and God puts you in a ministry office or into the place that he's called us to. And so sometimes, anybody ever seen people, you know, they try, you know what, hey, now here we go. Now, I'm not talking about God saying do it, but they just try to lay hands on people and put them into some office. Anybody ever heard of that? You know, well, I'm telling you, now, brother, just come on up here. We're going to pray for you and lay hands on you and put you in as a into an apostolic office or a pastoral office. How many know it doesn't matter? How many know you can put a label on an empty can, but that doesn't mean there's anything in the can? Amen? Yeah, doesn't that make a good picture? You know, you can have that, and you can put a label on there. That doesn't make them anything, because it is God. It is impossible to just make somebody something or to set them in without what? The Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that calls. God calls. And he separates and he brings that. And it can be dangerous because people sometimes intrude into ministries that you're not called to, and it could be serious. How many know? You know, I mean, if you're not called there, you don't have a grace, you don't have an anointing, you don't have the power of God working in you, and it can affect you. discourage you and maybe even cost your life if you're not careful. Because it's dangerous to intrude on places that God hasn't called us. So no one can put you into a ministry office. God alone sets people into the offices. And other people may recognize and they may acknowledge, okay, a calling. But it is God who sets the ministry gifts in the church. Okay, so if there is a call in your life, God may, you know, man can acknowledge that. How many know it's not about you having a title? It's not about how God called you, but it's you functioning. How many know we can see the function of an evangelist? Amen? You see them functioning. They're leading people to Jesus. They get more people saved accidentally than you and I can on purpose. You know, people are getting saved. People are being healed. People are, you know, we see that call and we see the gifts operating. We can recognize that. That doesn't mean just because, how many know, just because somebody's called, it doesn't mean you're yet qualified. God wants us to, God has qualifications. Amen. Even though you can be called by God, God may call you to do something. But how many know, He has to help you. He qualifies you then. Amen. He brings the power. He brings that gift. Amen. If you have the preacher teach in you, you know, sometimes you hear people, they'll say, well, I want to serve God. Anybody ever heard that? You know, I know we all want to serve God, but sometimes they'll say, I'm going to serve God. I want to, you know, but I'm not sure if God's called me. Well, if God's called you, it'll come out. You'll begin to teach. You'll begin to preach. You'll begin to share Jesus. If you have the preacher teach in you, it's going to come out. You know, it's not like, you know, sometimes people say, well, I saw a need, I just met that need. And that's okay to meet a need. How many know it's okay to meet a need? But just because a church needs a pastor doesn't mean you're called to be a pastor. Just because you see a need for it and you try to fill those shoes doesn't make you one. Amen? God calls and God sets. Actually, all of us should be able to minister to others. We all can. How many know all of us can proclaim Jesus? Amen. You can talk about Jesus and share the good news of Jesus, the gospel. Every single one of us should be able to do that. Minister to people. Pray for them. So to enter, in other words, we're saying if you're going to enter any kind of a ministry call, it's a divine call from God. These five gifts, anyway, you know, that's a divine call. Now, you don't have to have a divine call to work with God, amen, to serve and all those things. We're all servants. We can all do those things. But to operate in a ministry gift takes a divine call because there's going to have to be some divine power that helps you fulfill that. And if that power is not there, it makes it very difficult and really becomes almost impossible. That's where you get some people who stand up and they give a good talk and there's no anointing and nothing's going on and nothing's, now they could be called and just not be developed. But at the same time, sometimes you have people that'll give a good talk and so forth, but there's no anointing, there's no grace, there's no understanding, there's no wisdom imparted. You know, God expects the minister, it will be something that flows from within them. That gift flows like a river. It's like a water hose. It's like whatever, wherever God's leading in that service. But primarily, of course, number one, they're teachers and preachers and move forward. And it requires the qualifications of God. Now, I remember when I was in Bible school, I remember Brother Hagin teaching where the Lord came and talked to him for about 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours. About the different ministry gifts and begin to explain some things to them because these things happen a lot of times in the body of Christ. How many know, how many have ever seen different extremes come into the body of Christ? Sometimes things happen, okay? Like there was a time, you know, and extremes can exist in any subject. You know, how many know you can get extreme in faith? You know, well, what do you do? Well, you know, they're believing God so much that, you know, I've seen some people, they're trying to believe God. Now, how many know if you believe God, you don't die, right? Amen. Hallelujah, you know. When we really believe God, he said, when we believe what he believes, faith comes, the answer comes. If you're I'll give you an example, okay? If I'm believing God for money to take care of my bills, then ultimately money has to come into my account, right? Has to come into my possession. If I'm really believing, God's going to take care of it with me. Okay? Now some people have said, well, it's all paid. Jesus paid it all. You know, they go to get on the bus, they don't have any money. Oh, Jesus paid it all. How many know that's going to go over real good? That's what I'm talking about. That's a little extreme, isn't it? Okay, and sometimes people get extreme in some of the things of the gifts. You know, like I had mentioned earlier, sometimes people get into, you know, hey, I'm an apostle. Apostles rule, you know. No, apostles serve. Apostles are really under rulers. They have more, yeah, maybe more authority with God in certain things. And they have authority to do what God calls them to do. But they don't have authority over places and people other than what God has already given. See, even I mentioned earlier, even the Apostle Paul, he never exercised his authority over other churches that he didn't start. He'd start the church, get it rolling, set it all up, you know, stay there a couple of years, teach the people, train them, and then he'd put a pastor over that church. And that he expected that pastor. What do you think? He didn't write to the whole church, did he, at Ephesus? He wrote to Timothy, remember? Timothy was over there. How many ever read the book of Timothy? Dear Timothy, right? Hey, rise up, Timothy. Don't, you know, I believe in you. There's faith in your mother, you know, and your grandmother, right? And in your mother, and I believe that same faith in you. Don't let fear stop you, Timothy. I know it's difficult times right now, but let the greater one rise up in you. You can make it, Timothy. I believe in you. I believe in the faith that's in you, Timothy. He didn't go over there to try to fix the church. He expected Timothy to rise up. Amen? Amen. That's right. So he didn't go and try to exercise authority. He gave authority to Timothy. He set some others in order. And so when we look here at the apostle, wow, number one, the first class of the apostle is Jesus himself. How many know Jesus stands in a class all by himself? Nobody will be an apostle just like Jesus. He was a sent one, right? That's what the word, the apostle, means, a messenger, a sent one, or a commissioned one. That's what the word apostle means. A messenger, a sent one, or a commissioned one. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 says to consider the apostle and high priest. Amen. Jesus being that. Verse 11, 3:11, so I swear in my wrath they shall not all enter into my... Wait a minute. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, I'm sorry. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Jesus then called himself, he's here, and is calling him an apostle. In his earthly ministry, he was a sent one, a messenger. He was commissioned, wasn't he? He was commissioned what? To bring the good news of salvation to the world and to be the savior of the world. That was his job. He was commissioned by God, sent. He was a sent one. Now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, now we're talking about Jesus right now, him being a little bit different than the rest. He really walked in all five of these offices. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, Matthew 13, 57, he called himself a prophet. Matthew 13, 57, 1-3. I'm saying 57, it says, and they were offended in him But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. He's here calling himself, what? A prophet. Amen. So he was there, and of course we know in Luke 19:10, Jesus, really, you can see the evangelistic work of Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come, what? To seek and to save that which was lost. How many know? The evangelist is out bringing the good news, right? To seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was also an evangelist. And here in John 10, how many ever read in John 10 where Jesus said, I am what? The good shepherd, isn't he? He's not the bad shepherd, but the good shepherd. He operated in that anointing of the pastor. John chapter 10. Let's look at verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and snatches the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus was the good shepherd? Amen. He was a pastor. That's really what a pastor is. He's the shepherd. He's looking over the souls of the flock. And then finally in Matthew 9:35, we know that a large part of Jesus' ministry was teaching. Amen. How many know Jesus went about teaching? Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. It says, this is, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But Jesus went about the cities and villages, what? Teaching. He was a teacher. We would say he was a present day minister. But we can see from these scriptures, Jesus is in a class by himself and operated in each of the ministry gifts. How many believe that and see that? Amen. Even though he was God, he did not use his divinity. He said, I lay it down. Jesus emptied himself of his divine privileges and walked as a man anointed, what? By the Holy Spirit. And he functioned as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean he wasn't God. He was fully God, but yet he operated what? As man. He said, I lay down my life in Philippians chapter 2. We've looked at that before, but let's look again. Philippians 2. Verses 5-8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see the surrender and his willingness to lay down his godly attributes. Amen. Of course, in John chapter 5, you know, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. John 5, verse 19, and then in verse 30. John 5, sister, verse 19 and verse 30. Amen. we won't read everything, but we can look there. We know that it was Jesus who said, I can do nothing. I'm not doing this myself. He's relying on what? The anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life and the call of God on him to be the Son of Man, the Savior of the entire world. Are we making sense tonight? You see that Jesus was in a class all by himself. He was the apostle of, it said there in 3:1, Hebrews 3:1. Amen. The apostle and high priest. Hallelujah. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider what? The apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession, Christ Jesus. Amen. He's watching over that. Now, secondly, there's a class of apostles, and that would be the apostles of the Lamb. How many know who the apostles of the Lamb were? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? Those that he chose, the 12 that he chose, Judas, you know, those that were in that. And so in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Is that the right verse? 14, I'm sorry. Revelation 21:14. Strike that from the record. Revelation 21:14. And the wall of the city had what? 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The apostles of the Lamb were sent ones for a specific time and a specific purpose. Were they sent to govern over the church? Nope, they were not. They were sent ones to be eyewitnesses of Jesus' life and his earthly ministry and his resurrection. And we see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Acts chapter 1, I know we've got quite a few scriptures today, but how many know we should be scriptural, amen? We want to know what God says by the Bible. Not what we think in our head or what somebody tells us, but what does the Bible say? Verse 15 says this, beginning in verse 15. Probably read a little bit here. It says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, all his bowels, what, gushed out. We're talking about Judas. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written, the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell there, and his bishopric let another take. In other words, take his position. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection. And so they appointed 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knows the hearts of all men, whether which of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias was brought in to take the place of Judas. Everybody says, well, Some people think, well, they were wrong in that. They shouldn't have done that. They should have, you know, really Paul was the one that should have taken the place. But Paul doesn't qualify as an apostle of the Lamb. Do you know why? It said here, he didn't walk with them from the baptism of John. He wasn't available. He couldn't be an eyewitness to Jesus. He may have been alive, but he wasn't interested. At that time was Saul. It was Saul at that time, wasn't he? And so he wasn't the one that was to take the place. It was Matthias, and he, because he had walked with Jesus, he witnessed Jesus' ministry. He saw the resurrection. And that was the job of the apostles of the Lamb. They were there to accompany him, you know, to be with them all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out. Okay? And they had to be eyewitnesses of Jesus' earthly ministry and witnesses of his resurrection. And so they were sent out. Number one, they were ministers of the gospel. And they were first and foremost preachers and teachers. Secondly, they had to accompany Jesus with him, be with him all the time, as we said, and see when he went in and out, be eyewitnesses of his earthly ministry and resurrection. And thirdly, they were sent ones for the purpose of being eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And we see that here. If we look at verse 22, it says, being from the baptism of John unto the same that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us, what, of his resurrection. There's got to be somebody that witnessed his resurrection and had witnessed his ministry. And so here we see, thank you, Lord, missed my page. In other words, the apostles of the Lamb are those that were with Jesus during his earthly ministry, and they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Amen? So that's the second kind. These were there, and that's why the 12 apostles are a class basically by themselves. Amen? There's not, how many know there's not going to be any more apostles of the Lamb? Jesus has already gone to heaven. Amen. His earthly ministry is done. Other than through us, it's not going to come through us, but I mean, in a sense, I mean, we're all, you know, sons and daughters of God, but they're not eyewitnesses to his resurrection. There cannot be anymore because he's already raised. But there is, and so they did choose Matthias, and so they've got the 12. So, and did you know that there were, within the New Testament, now I'm not going to go to them all, but there were about 20 different people that were referred to as apostles. It was quite popular then, you know, to be, you know, they knew those that were apostles among them. So the third group of apostles are those that were foundational apostles, like the Apostle Paul, and many of them wrote things in the New Testament. You've got James, he wrote the book of James and Judas and so forth. These were other foundational apostles, you know, that may, you know, some of them walked with the Lord, but some of them did not, like the Apostle Paul and others that were there. And so Paul was one of this third class of foundational apostles in the New Testament. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 for a minute. We can see that there were other people. He said, upon the apostles and prophets, they helped set the original doctrine in the church and wrote much of the New Testament. I mean, we don't really, how many know that God's revelation has come right here? This is enough for you to get safely from here to heaven and to walk in this life. This Bible right here, okay? There's not other books that they're, you know, we may have some other books, but they're a revelation of what we already have. Amen. Understanding. They help us understand the revelation that God's already given us. We're not, how many know we're not adding to the Bible, right? How many know that's true? Amen. Hallelujah. We're not here adding to what God has given us. But Ephesians 3, 4, and 5 says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It was revealed to them. They were holy apostles and prophets, and God used them as foundational apostles to set the scripture and set things in order. Amen. How many know that's true? We don't need any other foundation. We need to build on the foundation which has already been laid for us here in the New Testament. Turn back just a little bit. If we look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Now therefore you know you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." How many know we have a foundation right here in the Word of God? They were faithful. The apostles were faithful to bring forth all that Jesus taught. And that's what he wanted him to do. He wanted him to teach all that I have taught you. You begin to impart to others who can teach other also. So now today, we do have apostles, but they're not foundational apostles. Amen? How many know that? They're not apostles of the Lamb, and they're certainly not Jesus. Anybody ever run into Jesus before? I ran into him once, you know. He went over, you know, and he says, "Oh, I'm Jesus." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, that's what he said." Of course, he was, you know, had lost his mind. You know, but he was crazy. But, you know, anybody hear of Elijah before, you know? There was a guy, you know, in Israel, and Elijah, he came and he says, "I'm Elijah," you know, and the guy says, "Okay." He said, you can go up to the room upstairs there and bunk with the other Elijah. You know, somebody had already come being Elijah. And so anyway, but there are no more foundational apostles in the sense that we're writing scripture. Now, in the sense that there are apostles that are called by God, and usually apostle today, and we mentioned this the last time, you know, the reason I'm sharing this, because a lot of times, sometimes people get confused. They think, "Oh, the apostle, he's over everybody." No. No, he's not. He's over what God gives him. Amen. And what God calls them to do. But a lot of times an apostle is someone, they are church starters a lot of times. In a sense, some pastors may be, in one sense, a sent one. We wouldn't probably call on an apostle, but in a sense, if God sends them to a certain city to start establish a church, how many know? That could be somewhat, you know, at least have an apostolic tint to it. You know, they would have somewhat of that. They sent one. It is a messenger, someone that has a divine purpose. And a lot of times we see apostles today, somebody like, if we look in the past, many people call Smith Wigglesworth what? The apostle of faith. He had a certain message that he was supposed to stress to the body of Christ. Amen. And in that sense, he was a sent one with the message to bring people back and to bring in the fullness of the faith, having faith in God. Amen. And so a lot of times, you know, when I look back and I see like even Pastor Dave Roberson, I mean, he was a pastor, yes, but really the apostolic call was on him to bring forth a message. And he would bring forth that message of praying in tongues back into the body of Christ. He's stressing that. No matter what he preaches on, that's what he brings it back to, you know. Hey, we need to be praying. Everybody says, "Well, did he start anything?" Well, the first 3 years of his ministry, he had 41 ministries under him. Under his ministry. 41 ministries started under his ministry. And he turned all of that over to someone else because God told him to. Amen. And started another ministry, started more ministry. And so in that sense, you know, a lot of times an apostle is a sent one to a certain, with a certain place, you know, maybe they're sent to a certain country or a certain city, you know, and God calls them there and they establish things and they set it up. A lot of times they'll be there 2 or 3 years, establish it, turn that work over to a pastor and start something else. How many have seen? A lot of times we call them missionaries. A lot of times we see the function of an apostle, but we don't necessarily say, hey, you know, maybe they are an apostle, but we don't necessarily say, oh, that's an apostle. But we see the function of it. How many ever seen the function of it? You know, now today some people are calling themselves apostles, and how many know just because you call yourself something doesn't make you so? Amen. Hallelujah. You could be, but you may not be. Well, I'm apostle, so well, how do you know? You know, God's called me, but is the function there? Let's look at the fruit. How are they functioning? What is happening in their ministry? What are they doing? How are they operating? Amen. How many know it's much more to say, hey, is that ministry operating in that person? And let somebody else label you. It's not about getting a label. It's not about getting a title. Amen. But it's about functioning in what God has called us to do and to see that function in people's life so that we can see how they operate and what God's pouring through their life. You know, because a lot of times, you know, the apostle, he might go out and he gets a lot of people saved, and gets the church started and gets things rolling and then says, okay, I'm going to set a pastor over this, and I'm moving on to, you know, to do another work where the gospel's not been preached yet. And we see that in the Apostle Paul in the Bible. How many see that? He had several churches that he started, but that he would turn it over to someone else. He might come back and, you know, preach there and strengthen the saints, but he wasn't ruling over. How many know he didn't rule over those churches? He let the pastor rule. Amen. He let that person, whoever he put over that church, do that work. So we do have apostles today, but they're not functioning in exactly like the foundational apostles who set a lot of the doctrines in the Bible, who wrote the Word of God, who gained those revelations from God that the Holy Spirit gave. The Bible said he moved on them and they brought that forth. I'm not saying we don't have revelation, but how many know we gain revelation of God's written word, amen, the revelation that he has already given us, and the revelation of who we are, and we find our place, and we begin to work with him, and out of the overflow of our relationship, we fulfill what God calls us to do, amen, hallelujah. Did anybody get anything there? We can understand there were different types of apostles throughout the history of man, and there are apostles today, and they do operate, and most of them have a lot of power and set things up and so forth, but it's not exactly like it was during the New Testament time. We are still in the New Testament now, of course, but it's a little bit different. It's a, you know, a different anointing. And how many ever see different anointings within the callings of God? Amen. Some people operate a little bit differently. Maybe like, you know, I know, like Pastor Dave, he had that message of praying in other tongues that we need and we need to employ and we need to use. And it was a wonderful thing because how many know there's been a lot of confusion, amen, in that subject. But God brings it back and says, hey, don't forget, there's power right here with God, amen. All right, well, praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you, Lord, that we'll have that. We'll be able to see more clearly, Lord, the function of an apostle in the midst of the body of Christ, Lord. And we can recognize then what is true and what is not. And we'll be able to easily discern, Father, know who it is that you have called in these different ways. And Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. Most of all, the great apostle and high priest of us, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We consider him today. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.